Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I am so grateful that you found time in your schedule to spend these few minutes together. And before we go into the Word, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I ask that as we draw nigh to you during this time, Lord, that you will not only open our hearts and our minds, our spirits to receive the truth of your Word, but Lord, that as we focus on you and on your righteousness and on your kingdom, Lord, you said everything would be added to us. So Lord, all the needs in our lives, we by faith place them on your altar, and we want to be busy about the Father's business, just as Jesus. We want to put our hand to the plow and not look back where we've been, but Lord, to where you're taking us. Father, thank you for your Word. Let your anointing rest upon us. Quicken application to our own lives. Father, let your Word be a rhema word, a timely word, a pertinent word, a practical word in each one of our lives. Father, we don't look to Scripture just to have religious instruction or academic learning or scholastic exercise, but we look to your Word because, Lord, we want to be like you, and we know we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So let this beautiful work continue that the Holy Spirit started in us, and we thank you, Lord, that he will work and continue and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, last week we spent some time in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and I'd like to just continue to stay there for a little while. In verse 10 of Genesis chapter 4, the Lord was speaking to Cain, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And that phrase has just stayed with me. The blood of his brother was crying out from the ground. And that those were very powerful words. We know that in Scripture, that the life is in the blood. That truth was conveyed to the Israelites. That was part of their law that was given to them under the old covenant. And so they were forbidden to eat blood because the blood of a person or an animal is, that's where the life is. And as I was thinking today of how much blood has been spilt since that first murder when Cain slew his brother, and for the very first time the blood of a human being, his own brother, was crying out to the Lord from the ground. And the response of the Lord to this terrible sin, I would just like to look at that. Let's just take a few moments and just review that by reading the passages found in the fourth chapter of Genesis. In the process of time, this is verse 4, "It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." He was warning him. "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, This is the Lord speaking. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And then Jehovah pronounced a curse, and that curse struck terror into the heart of Cain. God said that he would be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. He also took from him, when we look at the actual punishments imposed, he had been a tiller of the ground, and basically that he could no longer cultivate, it would no longer bring forth fruit. The Lord said he would be a fugitive, a vagabond, and he was driven from the presence of the Lord. Verse 14, he says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." It said a little later in verse 16, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And because he was afraid that men would slay him, God put a mark on him so that he would be protected. And if anyone did take his life, there would be sevenfold vengeance upon that person. And so what we see is God's response to the shedding of blood. And those words must have thundered to the mind and heart of Cain like fiery darts. Here was the first curse put on man, and it was a result of man's own doing. Abel was the youngest of the two brothers. Cain brought forth, was first the firstborn, and then Abel. But Cain was not like his brother in manner, in his way of making a living, nor in his thoughts. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And in Abel, we see a devotion on his part to take care of the sheep. He watched over them carefully, and because of his diligence, he was rewarded with great sustenance. God looked upon Abel and saw his devotion and blessed him. Cain, who was the eldest, seemed to be a rough, strong-natured man who tilled the ground. He worked hard at it. He used all his muscular, physical strength and energy to bring forth a good harvest. And this is in spite of the fact, remember now, that when Adam and Eve were sent from the garden, God did not place a curse upon them, but he cursed the ground that it would bring forth thorns and thistles. So obviously, if you've ever planted a garden, even to this day, beloved, we have to deal with weeds and all kinds of marauding insects. So it's not easy. It's possible, but it is difficult because of the effects of the curse. And so we see in, you know, these verses that obviously a period of time had to pass, allowing for the sheep to reach the right age, and Cain obviously had to till and harvest the crops, and at that point in time, the brothers brought an offering to the Lord. Now, obviously, this was before the Levitical regulations about sacrifice. All we don't know much about it except that it was an act of worship. Each brought their own product, the fruit of the field and the firstlings of the flock. And obviously, there was a precedent set when God sacrificed animals to clothe Adam and Eve before he expelled them from the garden. And so God had shown a way that unless there's the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And as those two offerings of the two brothers were offered to the Lord, one was accepted and one was rejected. Beloved, when we look at how God views humanity, as we look at how he has looked down through the ages, as the countless blood of multitudes have been shed, not only in wartime, but in individual acts of violence, such as occurred, we see in the opening pages of the Bible. Cain was the first murderer. It was premeditated. He knew what he was doing. He brought him out into the field. And beloved, that propensity of man, a fallen man, has if anything, worsened. Today we are living in a world, in a society that has lurking over its shoulders a horrible satanic beast, a demon of bloodlust, if you will, that is growing by leaps and bounds. It takes fortitude to listen to today's news as it is reported in the evening news or the morning news, whatever you listen, the terrorism, the senseless violence that is being taken out, the lives, the blood that's being shed on those that are innocent, that have done nothing to initiate any kind of violent action. I saw something in news a while back. A dear elderly black gentleman was killed for no reason. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't doing anything. It's the bloodlust that has gripped so many. And beloved, that is straight from the pit of hell. Satan desires to rob, kill, and destroy. And in these days, these end times, these final hours in which we are living before the return of the Lord, I believe we will see it increased. Years ago, people were robbed, they were attacked for money, but today it's happening like never before. And it's not just for money, there's a bloodlust in the attacker that's only satisfied by the taking of a life. And as we see the story of Cain and Abel unfold, when Cain's offering was rejected, he grew angry and his countenance fell. And even though he was the eldest of the two sons, where he should have been perhaps an example, the strength of the firstborn was his. His anger and his disobedience was quickly and powerfully brought up by God. And the Lord asked him, he said, why are you wroth or angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do the right thing from your heart, it will be done. And if you don't do the right thing from your heart, sin lurks at the door. Beloved, we are in a situation in our world, in our society, where there is a famine, not just for food, but for the purity and the anointing and the strength of the Word of God. We need to get back to basics. We need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, for it is the only answer to the violence and the corruption and the sin that is so overwhelming our world. Well, beloved, I'm just getting into this message, the crying of the blood, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you'll be able to be with us. But in the final closing moments, I do invite you, if you have prayer needs, please feel free to share them. This is a ministry of prayer intercession. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me, for your prayer support and your financial gifts. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.